Good morning, church. We have another amazing opportunity to be together, to sing songs of praise and to worship our God and King. I actually joined Bill and stayed asleep yesterday morning. In fact, I was trying to figure out what in the world you were even talking about. That's how little I knew about what was going on across the pond. Yesterday. Let's look in Luke chapter 10 again this morning. Luke chapter 10. I see that a quartet of griffins has snuck in on us back there. It's the first time I've seen the whole quartet, isn't it? I don't know. Were y'all a quartet when I was in Little Rock a couple of weeks ago, or months ago? Well, it's nice to see you. Glad to have all of them with us, and glad to have other visitors visiting with us. Thank you for being here. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to come and worship God with us. We looked at Luke chapter 10 last week, and we focused on the greatest of these. We talked about how there was this scene here where some of the disciples had been sent out. They'd been given authority over unclean spirits and to be able to heal. And they're coming back like little children, sharing what they've done and what they've seen with Jesus. And he's excited for them. That they were filled with this praise for God because of what he had allowed them to be a part of. And kind of in that context, there's a lawyer who asks Jesus a question about inheriting eternal life. What should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turns the question right around on him and says, what is it? What does the law say? How do you read it? And the lawyer gets the right answer, you remember. In verse 27 of Luke chapter 10, it says, he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus told him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." We talked about how sometimes it's easy to get to the right answer, but the hard part is to take the right answer and to put it into practice, to complete the go and do likewise part of getting the right answer and doing that in the right way. And around this sermon, it sounds like maybe Will had some of the same thoughts about loving one another, and that was on his mind on Friday. Let me just take a second to plug that Friday study at the Davidson's house. It happens once a month, and if you've not had a chance to experience that, it really is a special time that we share. It's always very thought provoking. You don't leave the same way you were when you came. For one, you're full up on olives, or at least I am, and some smoked sausage. But you don't leave with the same heart and the same mindset as you had when you came. You're changed by the discussion. It's a very open and honest discussion, and we get to some really deep thoughts. And so I'd like to invite you, if you've never had the chance to go and be a part of one of those studies, I think you would really, really benefit from that. And I know I have, our family has, and I think you would really enjoy the time together with our brothers and sisters. But we talked about on Friday night at that study that concept of the commandment to love one another, to do exactly what the lawyer said was his reading of the law. What he needed to go and do to love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. And if you've never been to the Davidsons, you know that when you leave, it takes a while to get home. And so there's some time for follow-up discussion in the car. And Alicia and I were talking as we were weaving around the curves of the mountain coming back. And we were talking about just the class and what we had talked about and kind of just things that were on our minds. And she brought up a really great point and thought that might be a good lesson. And I said, hey, I'm looking for a lesson for Sunday, as it turns out. And so I want to share some of the things that she and I were just kind of talking about, some things that have popped in my mind since then that I think will really, really help us at least to see a need that may exist for many of us, maybe all of us. But first, I want to give a gift to somebody. I want to give a gift to Eli. I've really grown to appreciate Eli over the course of the time that he's very nervous right now. I've really grown to appreciate Eli and love him, and so I want to give him my Lamborghini. I feel like he deserves it. I think that he would enjoy it. And so it's yours, Eli, and free of charge. Now, what's the problem with that? Come on, Eli, what's the problem with that? I don't have a Lamborghini. And if I had one, I might consider giving it to you, But there's a part, if I'm going to give a gift to someone, there's kind of an understanding that I actually obtain the thing that I wish to give as a gift, right? There seems to be a missing piece with me wanting to give my Lamborghini to Eli, and the missing piece is I don't have a Lamborghini to give to him. I don't have one. I don't own one for myself, and I certainly don't own an extra one that I could give to someone else. And sometimes I think one of the difficulties that we have in fulfilling these greatest commands is we are trying to give a gift that we don't have to give. In order to love your neighbor as yourself, what must be true? Carissa knows. She just said, you have to love yourself. You have to love and appreciate yourself. If you're going to love someone in the way that this is talking about, the way that this is describing, in the way that the Samaritan understood this concept, and even in the way that the lawyer understood that the Samaritan was the one who understood this concept. In order to love our neighbors as ourselves, we have to love ourselves. And I think we're afraid sometimes to go down that path. We're afraid to talk about that, afraid to remind ourselves that we need to love who we are. We need to appreciate who God has created us to be. And we need to learn to love ourselves so that we can forgive ourselves, so that we can have the right spirit and mindset so that we can go out and actually fulfill one of the greatest commands on which all the other commands hang. I think in our world for sure, in this country for sure, in maybe this church. Learning to love ourselves is a challenge. And our inability to be able to do that inhibits our abilities to go out and fulfill other commands that are given to us. We don't appreciate the talents that have been given to us. It would be prideful. It would be arrogant for someone to say, "I'm a five-talent man," wouldn't it? But did you notice something about that parable that Gary read for us just a few moments ago? Did you notice the fact that the master understood who the servants were? He had a very keen insight on the abilities of each of the servants. You know how he distributed the talents, each according to their ability? The master knew the servants. He knew their capabilities. He knew what they could handle. And he distributed the talents based upon his intimate knowledge of them. And God has done that for us. He has put talents and abilities. He's put characteristics and feelings and special things about each one of us. And I think a lot of us in that parable see ourselves as the one talent man, and we see everybody else as the five talent man. And so what that leads to is us wanting to do as the one talent man did. To bury it. To see ourselves as not as valuable as other people. To see ourselves as not being as useful as other people. And then we start to feel a little bit of bitterness about the fact that we've not been given as many talents as others. And jealousy comes in. Social media does a lot to create this kind of mindset as well. We look at the very best of what people want to offer. Photos that have been filtered, taken from the right angle with the right lighting. And we want to present the very best case of ourselves on social media, while the rest of us look at those things and say, "I don't look like that. I don't have that kind of job. I don't have that kind of house. I'm not able to go on those trips. I'm not able to do those things." And we start to see ourselves as this one talent person, and we go and bury it because we've convinced ourselves, we've believed the lie that Satan has tried to sell to us, we've bought it, that we're not valuable, that we're not worth anything in the kingdom of our Lord. And then when Jesus makes the new commandment, when he takes this commandment right here and makes it new, it becomes even harder. Because when Jesus said in John 13 that he was giving a new commandment, he wasn't giving a new commandment in the sense that it was to love other people. That made the commandment the same. But what changed is that now we had an example of what that looks like. Not just to love your neighbor as you love yourself, but now love your neighbor as I have loved you. And the missing piece there, if we're not careful, it will become a missing piece, is if we don't learn to understand and comprehend that we are loved by a heavenly Father, that we are cherished by a joint heir, the Son of God, the one whose blood is there to cleanse us and heal us, if we don't understand and fully comprehend what it is to be loved by a father, then it'll be just like that Lamborghini that I don't have. How can I go and love other people in the same way that God loves me if I don't first understand God's love for me? I can't fulfill this new commandment until I'm able to understand how it feels and what it means to be loved by our Heavenly Father. We talk about this in other contexts. Been on a plane before? What do they want you to do before you start helping other passengers to secure their oxygen masks? You got to put on your oxygen mask. What good is it to the rest of the passengers if you are passed out from lack of oxygen? And so you've got to take care of you first. You've got to understand what it means to be loved by God first. You've got to understand what it means to love yourself first. And then you will have the ability. You will actually have the Lamborghini to give. I feel like so many of us are missing this piece to this very important commandment that God has given to us. And we've got to learn to see the value that we have, the way that God sees us as valuable. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is kind of a similar type statement that's made to the church at Corinth that Jesus was trying to make with the parable of the talents. First Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." You've heard me make this point before, but it bears repeating. You are who you are. You have the personality that you have. You have the characteristics and qualities that you have. You have the talents and abilities that you have. Because it was pleasing to God for Him to create you that way. You are not who you are by accident. You are who you are because there is a Father in heaven who loves you, who handcrafted you, who formed you to be you. And He loves you. And He placed you within His body. He placed you within the kingdom exactly where He wanted you to be. Have you ever tried to decorate a room or hang a picture for somebody? You ever been the one that's standing on the ladder while they say, no, a little bit, no, we went too far. Nope, back this way. No, now this needs to, now I'm seeing some smirks. Most of them are coming from men. I don't understand why that would be the case, but you've got somebody standing down and they're giving direction. And when that picture, when that thing gets exactly where they want it, that's it. That is perfect. Think about that. And think about how God did that when He made you. And think about how God did that. He said, perfect, when He placed you within the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave you, as His handiwork, the work to do within His kingdom that He's given you to do. We got to put that piece into the puzzle. That, in fact, that's the piece that's going to hold all the other pieces together. We're not going to be able to give the kind of love that God expects for us to give to our neighbors if we don't first learn to love ourselves. And first learn how to take care of ourselves. And so we kind of avoid this topic. We run away from it a little bit because we think to focus on ourselves too much, because we have so many Bible verses that say, don't look out for your own interests, right? But that's not really what the verse says, is it? What the verse says is, don't look out for your own interests only, but also the interests of others. And we think that to focus on our own interests at all would be selfish, would be prideful. And then we look at verses that talk about how we need to be serving and we need to be doing for others. And so we try to do all of that without anything in the tank to give. And we'll just say yes to everything. Ever know anybody? You ever struggle with this? My wife's married to somebody who struggles with this. Overcommitting, saying yes to too many things, overloading the plate. Unless you've ever worked at a Mexican restaurant, you can't carry that many plates. Nor can I. And so what we do is we say yes to everything, and we don't set healthy boundaries for ourselves to take care of our own mental and spiritual well-being. And then what we have to offer is not as good as it could be in that sense as well. We've got to learn to take care of ourselves. It is not prideful. It is not selfish to spend some time learning to love yourself, learning to appreciate who God has made you to be. In fact, He wants you to feel that way. He wants you to understand His love so that you can then go out and share His love with other people. Let's don't let that be a missing piece for us. Loving one another is certainly one of the greatest commands that God has ever given us to do. It comes with the highest expectations, the greatest rewards. But we cannot give a gift of something that we don't have and possess on our own. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for the reminder in Your word to make sure that we understand the love that You have for each one of us, so that we might be able to go out and freely give and share that love with others. We ask You, Lord, to please help us. Help us not to listen to Satan's lies about our value. He's going to try to convince us that it is far less than You see it. Father, help us to block out the noise. Help us to reject the lies and to listen only to your truth about who you've created us to be. You've told us we are of more value than many sparrows. You've told us that we are more precious than the 99. You've told us that you love us. You love us enough that you would be willing to upset the older brother to put a ring on our finger and a robe around our shoulders and to kill the fattened calf upon our return to you. We thank you, Father, for valuing us in this way, and may we truly learn to see and appreciate that value within our own hearts, so that we can go out and do these commands that you've given us to do to share your love with the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.